Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to God's Purpose Ministry. This is another Wednesday night, the 24th of October. God bless you, beloved. And I am your servant host, Pastor Olivia Deloach. Yes, yes, yes. This is your winning season. We're going to continue tonight in our book, Don't Die in the Winter, our old book, but yet still have some very valuable nuggets in there that we can extract from it. Praise God. And how we remember, yes, this is the day, the evening, the night that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And I just want to tell you thank you, beloved, always for your support, for those who come on and listen. Thank you for your support. And not only for your support, for your encouragement. It's encouraging to hear a good report from you. And I can just thank God that you're blessed and continue will be blessed. And what we share will continue to be a blessing, no matter how simple to how dynamic you think it is, but yet it's a blessing. But before we get started, and we just thank and praise God for another day, we thank Him for His honor. And beloved, before I even go any farther, I'm going to say to you, lift up our government, lift up our government official, pray for them, pray for the ones in office, out of office, coming out of office. Just keep them in prayer. Pray for our nation. Pray for our country. Prayer. We need prayer. We better pray and then put a praise on it, huh? Pray and then put a praise on it. And we just, and let's stand back and watch God. Amen. But our declaration tonight is, I declare God's incredible blessing over my life. I will see an explosion of God's goodness, a sudden widespread increase. I will experience the surpassing greatness of God's favor. It will elevate me to a level higher than I ever dreamed of. Explosive blessings are coming my way. This is my declaration. So we are declaring incredible blessings tonight over your life. Okay, say over my life, and we're going to see explosions of God's goodness. It has going to come suddenly, not only suddenly, but with widespread increase. And it's going to surpass anything I can ever think or imagine. The greatness of His favor. We're going to walk in His favor. Praise God. Explosive blessing, we pray, that's coming your way, and this is your winning season. Beloved, 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 let's just jump in and get started on tonight. I hope you have all that you need to take notes or record or however you holding on to it or just hiding in your heart. But on tonight, the enemy comes in the winter. The enemy comes in the winter. There used to be a song that said, the freaks come out at night. Strange things happen in the dark. Strange things happen in the cold. But let's just kind of go real quick. I'm going to try to get through it so you can know your seasons. We talked about this last week, and we didn't go through it. But I want to go through it real quick. And somebody say, how do I know my season? Well, we know there is four seasons in your life, just like there is four seasons in us naturally, okay? Spring. God has always used the pictures of nature to tell us about Himself, right? His character, and even ourselves. We see creation itself reveals what God is like. All we have to do is look very closely at the things He put in front of us, all right? Paul told us that ever since creation of the world, God's eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been understood and seen through the things he has made. And we know, we say God's masterpiece. When it's snowing outside, it's God's masterpiece. We see beautiful trees, we say God's masterpiece. We see the hills and the rolling mountains and the mountains, the flowers, it's God's masterpiece. He speaks to us through the smell, through the sunshine, through the cool, through the rain, through the animals. It's his masterpiece, it's his word. Romans 1 and 20 say, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. All right? What kind of God does nature reveal, beloved? Nature shows us a God of might, intelligence, and intricate detail, a God of order and beauty. God controls the forces. Amen. Praise God. We just want to tell him thank you. Now, let's think about a season, summer. The summer season. I have a daughter named Summer because she was born right around the first day of summer. And this, so I name her Summer. But let's look at summer. The summer, the light of the warmth and the summer help us, the seeding to continue to grow into the sapling. Summer is filled with activity. People feel alive. The birds sing. The rain is sweet. So forth by summer. But listen, in the summer, the weather is usually very pleasant and often predictable. But a sapling has to learn to withstand threatening summer storms and scorching heat. Now, we know in Illinois in June, storms going to really roll through. Summer is the time that young plants are moved from the controlled environment of the seedbed to a larger pot to encourage growth. Now, those who do potting, take care of flowers or plants, you know about this, okay? Here's the surroundings. Here the surroundings are less predictable. The young plant has to adjust to its new environment. So what happened? In your summer season, you replant it, okay? You replant it. And why? Because we said storms come, heat come, all this. Even though it seemed like fun time in the summer, you have to be protected. In the natural, you have to put sunscreen on. You have to be protected. So it repots you. It puts you somewhere else. It plants you somewhere else. And what happened? You have to adjust, beloved. That's your summer season. Then we go into what? The fall. In the fall, the trees is removed from the artificial environment of a hothouse to a garden or out to the field. You know, when you go out there and buy those little trees at the place, the opportunity for growth increases. But the conditions are different. The safety of the flower pot and the constant attention of the nursery caretaker is gone. So in the summertime, you got somebody watching over you, taking care of you. Why? Because you've been uprooted and replanted, and they just can't drop you in the pot without nurturing you in your summer season. But then you move to the fall. You move to a bigger place. You have a point of increase, a point of growing. The little sapling has to adjust to the weather condition and learn how to thrive on its own now, relying on the root system to search for and absorb minerals for the soil. So you're being moved, replanted, and you're on your own. So you need a what now? You need to get in the word. You need to get rooted. You need to get grounded. The roots begin to sink into the earth to anchor. You need to know who your anchor is at this point. It continues to grow and learn how to endure changing weathers and conditions. See, you're not murmuring and complaining in this season because you were unadapted. You're growing. This is your winning season. That's your learning season, okay? And you learn how to endure the change in weather conditions. You learn how to endure the parasites, you know, them things that want to come and eat you up, and the threat of alienation by whatever sends your way. In the fall, you got this. You healing this. Fall also does this, beloved. It's a pruning season. Pruning takes place in the fall.
Orchard growers prune or cut back the branches to remove the superficial branches. Oh, isn't that a good place to shout? Shout, God come in to remove all that flesh, that suitcase souffle, that puffed up flesh. Your own ideals, your own stinking thinking. This improves the shape of the tree, to encourage you to grow, increase your fruitfulness, and makes the fruits easier to reach. Oh, come on now. Each season of the pruning produce growth. My goodness. Jesus makes a distinction between two kinds of pruning. Listen, A, separating, and B, cutting back the branches. Fruit trees are cut back to promote the proper kind of growth. In other words, sometimes God must discipline us to strengthen our character and faith. This is your pruning season. Fall, pruning. Branches that do not bear fruit are cut off. Isn't that the word, what it said? At the trunk, not only are they worthless, but they often infect the rest of the tree. Those who do not bear fruit for God or who try to block the efforts of God's people will be cut off from the divine flow of life. My God. When we survive pain and adversity in our life, we are left with markings that say, I was wounded, I endured, I survived. All right? Praise God. And then the beauty of our relationship with God, what, lies in our growth. And not only in our growth, but listen, and willingness to submit to the pruning knife. Ooh! We can speak the right words, but our testimony does not become authentic until we have withstood the trials that prune us. Spiritual pruning cuts away the superficiality in our life, beloved. Now, we went through that. Now, here comes the winter season. And we're talking about the enemy comes in the winter. Huh? The enemy comes in the winter. What is winter? Winter is inedible in your life. You can't stop it if you wanted to. I don't care where you move. You can't stop the winter season. It doesn't matter how cold it gets. It may not get as cold as some places, but yet still winter. And being still winter, things change in the winter. You can't stop winter. Winter is inevitable, as I said, in the life of every believer as well. And the first bitter experience is often the most difficult one to pass through. We're not certain what to expect or what to do. In the natural, we learn to prepare because of previous experience. We know that the temperature drops, so we prepare our homes, our clothing, and our food. Especially us here in the North, in the Midwest, you know you have to prepare. You know you have to get ready. You know that. You know you got to winterize your car. Get your house up to par. The scheme of creation prepares the tree by dropping its leaves and pulling all of its life resources deep into the branches. Come on. In the trunks and in the roots. In your winter. Winter is not a time of growth for the tree. There is no growing in the winter, beloved. All right. It is a time of endurance and testing. If the roots have sunk deeply enough, it is overall. Health is good. Okay? And if a young tree is given adequate protection by a farmer, it will survive the chilly winds and the weather and the cold blanket of snow, for those who know about snow. That's natural. It begins to snow in your life. The weather turns cold and the sky turns gray and the outlook look bleak. Huh? Okay. Habakkuk 3:9 says this, "The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places." The Lord will show you and many who desire to walk forward in Christ, but there are few who are willing to climb as well. Climbing requires effort. You have to horse yourself up and exert energy in order to climb. Come on now. A person, listen to this. A person recovering from a medical condition is often encouraged to walk, but not to climb stairs. Going downstairs just requires keeping steady. But climbing up takes all of one's energy, right? Our walk with the Lord in winter is like that. We have to hoist or pull up, in other words, ourselves up and exert spiritual energy. If you want to rise up to the higher places, beloved, in me, the Lord, it says it will involve climbing, and climbing always involves struggle. It is really what you want. Is this really what you want to go in that season? When we talking about the enemy comes in the winter now. Winter arrive and the enemy attacks you on every possible side, every way possible. Every way possible. When the winter shows up, sometime in the winter, everything is still and it's quiet, beloved. This can be very frightening at times. Remember the old movie that portrayed the end of the world after the nuclear explosion and only one man remained alive in lonely silence? Sometimes God seemed to be silent, but he's still there and is still preparing us. Even as the heavens were silent for 400 years between the prophetic words of Malachi and the gospel story, God was still active because he was preparing the world to receive his son. In the natural, even though everything appears to be cold and dead, if you dig down through the snow and the dirt deep enough, you'll find life. You know that. I always say the seed that grows silently. When you put that seed down in that dirt, yes, yes, and cover it up and pat it and it's cold, that seed is growing. Whether you see it, whether you hear it, it is still growing. The insects, moles, squirrels are still there. The plants are dormant. You don't see them, but they are alive. They died on top of the ground, but they're still growing underneath, love, and they will bloom again in the spring. It may look like you out. It may seem like you down for the count. It may seem like you dying spiritually. The world may sound silent for 400 years. You don't hear a voice. You may feel that you all alone and nobody understands, but you are still growing. It's very easy to be excited during the times that you can hear God's voice clearly and audibly, but sometimes it's difficult when he appears to be silent. Oh, my. Anybody know about that silent? Anybody have experienced that silent? Anybody can praise God, beloved, during the times when the power of God is manifested in a powerful way. All of Israel celebrated and praised God when they crossed the Red Sea. Come on now. Listen, grab this. However, we cannot become dependent upon these manifestations and signs, because if we are not there, we begin to believe that God has left us. We got to know how to praise him in the meantime. We have to learn how to praise him just because. We got to pray. Look, you got to praise him in advance. Yes, yes. During the season of intense difficulty, it sometimes seems that God is silent. It is important that you know God's voice for yourself, because Satan is a master of deception. He can imitate the voice of God and easily lead you astray if you have not learned to be patient and to wait on God's still small voice. Regardless of which way the Lord asks you to go, you must understand one thing. Spirits of deception lie on every side with treacherous plots to lure you away from God. Isn't he a deceiver? Isn't that what he'll do? Even Jesus sent his disciples out two by two with warnings about the physical and the spiritual dangers of their journey. Deception can be very subtle. It can come through well-meaning people. Come on, listen. Who hurry to analyze your situation. They seem to know more about you than you do. Oh, hello. There even may come a time when you must turn a deaf ear to everyone. That sound cold at times. That do sound when you say cut them off. But you got to get to a place where you know God. Well, the description said, my sheep knows my voice, and a stranger, they won't follow. So it is your personal responsibility to learn to know God's voice for yourself. That way, if the whole world tells you one thing and God tells you something else, you will have the strength and the boldness to follow God in your life. You may seem like you're out there alone. That's that winter season. God is not surprised, beloved. Oh, tell yourself, God's not surprised. God's not surprised. God is not surprised. God is not surprised. God is not surprised. Whatever it is in your life, you can make it. It's not, my brother sang that song all the time. You can make it. These trials you're going through, God's going to work it out for you. You know what I'm saying? It is not a surprise to God. Your broken marriage is not a surprise to God. Your children, if they're on drugs, or any family member, it's not a surprise to God. God is not shocked when you done got fired from your job. He's not caught off guard when things is not going anywhere. By anything that's happening in your life, he is not caught off guard no matter what it is. God thinks about you 24 hours a day. His word said, listen, and this is one of my favorite scriptures. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visit him? That is in Psalms 8 and verse 4. Psalms 8 and verse 4. It is mind-boggling to know that right now, at this moment, God is thinking about me. Isn't that something? Oh, that's mind-boggling. Right now, he have you on his mind, beloved. When I'm asleep, he's thinking about me. He's thinking about you. Even though we must take responsibility for our own choices in life, it is comfort to know that God can take even our bad choices, come on, and close them to work it for our good. I don't know if she's on the line, but my wonderful sister, I love Linda, shout out to you. That's what she said. If I made a mistake, I may not be quoting like she quoted, if I made a mistake, I serve a big enough God to turn it around. And that's what that is just saying. Praise God. If God can take even our bad choices and cause them to work for our good. Let's look at that. Romans 8 and 28 read, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. What a wonderful outlook. You can not only make it, you can come out of it thriving and praising God for the experience. What the devil means for evil, you know that saying, but it's for real. God can turn it around for your good, because we just read it in Romans 8 and 28. When he brings you out, you know that all the praise belongs to him. Come on. Every praise is to our God. Every praise. Adversity brings out the best in us. Therefore, we are able to rejoice when hardship comes upon us. James 1, 2 through 4 reads this, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. This is the word now. But let patience, tell somebody, but let patience have her perfect work, that she might be perfect and entire, want nothing, nothing, want nothing, absolutely not a zip. When we encounter adversity in life, most of us are tempted to ask God why. Ooh, remember back here last month we was in the book, Why? How we want to ask God why? Okay, prepare for your winter. Now, this why, prepare for your winter. People who live in winter climates like me actually enjoy the season like me because they learn to protect themselves from its negative efforts. They ice skate, they sled down sunny slopes. They enjoy frost, the icicle, glistening in the winter sun, and find great delight rushing marshmallows and stuff over fire. I like bonfires and all that type of stuff. I love snows and making snow angels and snowmen like me. The cold fridge air actually invites vacationers that prepare them for winter. People pay to go to cold weather. Just for you want the ones in the summer. I'm making fun. There are people, though, seriously, pay to go to ski lodges, pay to be cold. We, too, must be spiritually on the serious now. We, too, must be spiritually prepared to protect ourselves from the negative effects of harsh weather. Our preparation do not stop the season from coming. Like I told you earlier, you can't stop it if you want it. But they do protect us from devastation. We need to be fully clothed in the armor of God, Ephesians 6, in the garments of salvation and praise, Isaiah 61. If we are properly attired spiritually, then situations and circumstances will not affect us in a negative way. One seasonal year, and this is where spring began to come in, because someone might say, you never touch spring. But one season a year passes to the next, and each winter promises a new springtime, beloved. After our initial springtime in the Lord, we are ready to bloom forth and produce fruit in the spring. It's when fruit going to come forth. Each cycle of season give us new strength and Christian maturity. Having passed through once, we know what to expect, how to take advantage of each season, and how to survive. We know that we are not alone. As with the tribe of Judah, Judah means praise. God is here with us. He is always present, always preparing us for one more seasonal change so that our roots would dig deeper in him and we will bear fruit. Ooh, I'm about to wrap this up. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. If you want to read that scripture, that's 2 Kings 19th chapter, verse 30. And the remnant that is escaped the house of Judah shall yet again, take root downward and bear fruit upward. All right? And when we get to that point where we can thrive in the midst of adversity, we are like the evergreens that have learned to be majestic in every season. The seasons pass, but our branches are green. The pruning comes, but our sap is thick and sticky. We heal fast. Spring, summer, fall, or winter, our branches spread out to glorify the King of Kings while we shelter others from the harsh winds of winter, often shade from the summer heat. The fruit we bear is full of seeds, falling to the ground and giving birth to new seasons. Blessed is the man, his leaf also shall not wither, and whosoever he do it shall prosper. Beloved, we got to wrap it up. If you don't know Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sin, according to Romans 8 and 10, I invite you to reach out to him, to give your heart to him, invite him to make him the head of your life. Yes, yes, he's a forgiving, loving, caring, keeping God. I love you in Christ.
There is nothing you need to do about it. Know your season. If you're in your winter season, know that spring is about to spring forward. Love you. Be in prayer. Be a blessing and be blessed. God bless you.